Hey, cyclocross friends, it's Bill. This is episode 110. I'm actually back in here after releasing the episode because Scott and I, but I'm going to take the blame for this. Actually, the UCI should take the blame for this. We made a big error in the show that you're about to hear. On the UCI schedule, it has Gloucester listed as a C1, and we were all excited about Gloucester coming back as a C1. I'm going to keep saying it, Gloucester, just to piss off everybody in New England. Gloucester. It's not a C1. It's a C2. That's a mistake. It's been up. I'm glad people are listening because I already heard about the mistake. And I'm not going back and correcting it in the show. I'm just letting you all know right now. But thanks for listening. And yeah, let's play that theme. Hello, cyclocross friends, and welcome to episode 110 of Crosshairs Radio. It's been a few weeks, but we're back, and we got a good run of shows coming up. But I had some scheduling conflicts with this one, and in a pinch, I was like, hey, I haven't talked to Scott Diedenbach in a while, and I miss chatting with him. So I gave Scott a ring, and then we recorded a podcast. And we talked about the full UCI US schedule. A great conversation. And you know, it's always like this with Scott. We get on there, we're like, oh, we have anything to talk about? I don't know. Probably a short one, 30, 40 minutes. And then we just talk for an hour and a half. And then on top of that, we went and recorded some bonus content for you Wide Angle Podium members. So if you belong, if you're a member to the Wide Angle Podium podcast family, which, you know, you can always sign up at wideanglepodium.com and click on the donate button, then you get to hear Scott and I talking about music. It's kind of a kids don't follow Crosshairs Radio Bike Shop CX crossover event. We both got back into our vinyl collections and turntables, and we talked about old records that we had, and it was a really fun conversation. So yeah, check out that on your bonus content for you Wide Angle Podium members. And for the rest of you, good to see you viewers all again, and thanks for tuning in. We're gonna get to the show in 1 minute, but right after I tell you about Health IQ. It's been a while, so you may have forgotten life insurance. It's one of those things with like tax season coming up, or actually right around the corner, going through all my taxes, doing all this, trying to work everything out. It's always in that same kind of mindset of getting your financial stuff worked out, and then also looking at the future. And, you know, if you ever talk to an estate planner, it's the kind of thing that they're going to get on you about. It's have life insurance. And you know, I've said it all the time. It's kind of cliche, but it's about adulting. It's something you're not doing for you. It's something you're doing for your family, for your loved ones in your life, so that when you're no longer here, they are still taken care of. It's an easy and inexpensive investment in the future of the ones that you love. The cool thing about Health IQ, they're a life insurance company that lowers their risk by looking at healthy people to invest in. And I know that by following along with Wide Angle Podium Podcast Network, you're interested in fitness, you're interested in health. If you're out there riding your bike 50 miles a week, if you're a runner, you can show them your Strava files, you can show them your MyFitness files, all these kind of things that will help them determine and make sure that you get lower rates. And that's what they're there for. They want to give you exclusive rates and special rates that no other company is offering. And you can get those by talking to the folks at Health IQ. Go to healthiq.com/CXHairs. All right. I'm heading off to Sea Otter next week. I'm going to have a lot of content available. Would love for you all to follow me along on Instagram. I've been putting a lot more video clips up there. That's at CXHairs on Instagram. Also on Twitter. And then YouTube. Go to youtube.com/CXHairs. Also going to follow Bike Shop CX on Twitter and on Instagram as well. All right. Let's talk to Scott Diedenbach. And let's do that right now.
Scott Dietenbach, how's it going?
Bill Chaiken.
It's going good, man.
I have been sitting. I you know, cross season ended, but that doesn't mean that Crosshairs Radio ends. We sort of had our, we did our TDD TIE award ceremony and all that. And then I talked to Powers, had said, you know, started with mountain bike, had Chabanov on here. But then in the last couple of weeks.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Who's that?
Dan Chabanov.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
What did I call him? A contributor. He's now a wide angle podium contributor.
I love Dan Chabanov.
That's a new role. You guys should have him on. Yeah, I mean, he's just like roving wide angle podium. Like,
yes, that's like a good idea.
Free agent. He could come on and talk like campy 12 speed or whatever they're going to use now.
Yeah. He can tell the full story of the policeman running over his wheel at
exactly.
Indy, so.
Exactly. The important part that you leave out. But, you know, and then I had like these other things set up and they just keep like not lining up where I want them to. And I hadn't recorded in a while. And I was like, I haven't talked to Scott in a while. We should just because, you know, when you have a podcast, that's how you get to talk to people. Now you can just push record and then it's an excuse to have a conversation.
That's right. And so the viewers know, I think my timer on Skype's showing 34 minutes. We've been recording for one and my timer is showing 34. So yeah, that's what happens.
Right? That's all the good stuff.
All the good stuff on the cutting room floor. So
exactly.
But yeah, it was funny because, I'm glad you contacted me because I was just thinking yesterday, we should talk about the schedule's coming out, right? The schedule's kind of out and permanent now, right? I mean, you know
I
better
think
than
so.
I.
Yeah, you know, it's since you mentioned that, I pulled up I went to the UCI site and then I just filtered it by US and Canada. And I figure we can at least talk about that. And then, you know, the European stuff we'll get into eventually. And it looks like, you know, originally things like Gloucester and other big races, seminal races, were not on there, but everything seems to be showing up now.
Yeah.
And in its right place.
And I did notice by Gloucester there, it says over in class C1.
Yeah.
That's new.
That is new. That hasn't been that for how many years?
Yeah.
Quite a few.
It's a long time. Yeah. Yeah. So since I've been driving around the country like Johnny Appleseed going to cyclocross races, it has not been a C1. So.
Right. Right.
It was before that, all that time. So that's going to be cool.
Yeah.
But you probably want to start at the beginning, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, we have to start. You have to trudge through with me because, you know, we're in mountain bike season. So we quickly have to go. This is the Commonwealth Games are this week.
Okay.
In out of the Gold Coast. So we have to quickly go through the cross country mountain bike results.
Yeah, man. I'm ready.
I was trying to think. Not a lot on the men's side, not a lot of cyclocross crossover.
Not so much.
I think Grant Ferguson, Scottish rider in ninth place, he may have done some. But we had an exciting race. We'll start with the men's race. Some drama in this race. Sam Gaze ended up winning, which is not a huge surprise. You know, he's the guy who beat Nino Scherter in the first World Cup race, so definitely, you know, has the chops and is a fast youngin.
How old do you have his age?
He's 22, I believe.
Nice.
21, 22, right around there. 22. And then Anton Cooper, who's a Trek Factory Racing racer, also going well. A little sick for this race, but gutting it out. He got second place. And then Alan Hatherley, South African racer, takes the bronze. So in this race, Sam Gaze leading the way, has a flat tire, and Cooper passes him while that's happening, and Gaze takes it personally and gets very angry, as if it's a road race that he's being.
I was just gonna say, what did he think this was, a road race?
And there were gestures made and words exchanged at the finish, and questions of sportsmanship in the heat of the moment. But after further reflection and on Sam Gaze's Instagram today, he was taking ownership of those actions and apologizing, and yeah, but
well, that's good.
Yeah, all that aside, good win for him. Yeah, so Gaze, Cooper, and then Hatherly. And then on the women's side, not a big surprise for the winner. Annie Last is a British rider, so she takes the win for England. She won a World Cup last year. I think she got silver possibly at Worlds, so really, really talented, fast rider. She takes first place, second place, and here's your cyclocross tie-in.
Yeah.
Kind of a surprise, Evie Richards able to to get on her teammate's wheel. You know, she dropped down about 50 seconds by the end. I think it was 48 was the final, but taking the silver medal. So that's a huge deal. Youngest person in the race. So Evie still going strong.
Yeah. I mean, do you think she's going to get a big win this year in mountain bike?
Yeah, so she's
equivalent to her cyclocross win that she got.
She is, so she, even though she's raced, I think they only have elites here, so she's racing in the elites, you know, last, first, Richard, second, and then just going through the rest of it. Haley Smith, Canadian race, Norco racer, coming in third place, and then Emily Batty, who I think maybe a little disappointed in this result, lost third place, coming in fourth. I think with Evie is that even though she's racing for mountain bikes in the U23 category, it is a strong, strong category. And she has, Frey, who was always up there last year, is still there. We got some I'm blanking on her name, but the woman who won the first race down there, also coming out of really a 10th place finishes last year into the top step in the first World Cup. So even losing people like Kate Courtney to the elites, they're still, that's still a really competitive field. And that's, much like we see in cyclocross, that's the fun. Those are the fun races to watch. These women's races are super competitive on the cross country mountain bike side. So I think even though Evie is like up here and finishing amongst elite racers, that U23 field is strong enough that she's still going to have a battle. I mean, she'll be on the podium. She'll probably, most likely get some wins this year, but definitely will have a fight every week. Like it's not going to be cyclocross worlds where she's just riding away from everyone.
And what's going on with Yolanda Neff?
In what sense? I think she's insane.
I know she's back. She's back racing, right? I mean, she's back racing. How's she looking as far as...
She looked amazing.
Yeah.
It was just nuts. She was like on the first lap, and then she finished in the top 10, was battling. I think it came down to a sprint, and she might have like sat up a little bit. But still from... that horrible crash and busted ribs and wrists and whatever else to 6 weeks later, competing on a really technical course was just amazing. It's great. It's going to be really fun to watch her.
Did she race in South Africa?
She did.
I can't remember. I know she was, because originally didn't she say she was going to miss it, right?
Yep.
But then ended up doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess she announced
good enough
it,
to do it,
which I missed. And then I was, my Turkish Airlines flight seemed to be the flight that tons of riders were on. So like Marco Fontana's in front of me, and I'm like sitting there, sort of trying to squeeze my knees into the seat, and then I look up and I'm like, oh, it's Yolanda Neff. I guess she's racing. Is she like?
Yeah, I guess she's coming.
Yeah. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Good. Because I'm anxious to see her back in CX again too. So.
Yeah, I hope she comes back. You know, it was such a crazy crash, and like, even Pauline did great in that race as well. So both of them back and seem, you know, no worse for the wear. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
So but, what's next for you, mountain
for
bike
me.
Wise? Or did you have more results? I'm sorry.
No, that was it. But yeah, so for me, it's Sea Otter. Sea Otters are the...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, I feel a little bad, Bill, because I think it was last year we were saying after Sea Otter, we said, well, next year we should go to Sea Otter and do some live recording. And now it's... Sea Otter always... It's one of those things that just always sneaks up on me, right? Yeah. I look up and I look at the calendar and I'm like, oh man, Sea Otter's next week.
Well, it's so
and
early
it just,
in the year.
For some reason, it always sneaks up on me. Yeah.
And
I'm still
especially this year, like, what's your weather right now? What's it doing outside?
It's been crappy. Today's the first day, like, with decent temperatures. It was like, it snowed yesterday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
That's we're in the exact same boat where like it's been in the 30s and 40s and raining, and I think it's like going up to 60 today, and it's just everybody's rejoicing. What I'm getting at is like it comes up so quick in the year that you still it seems almost like it's winter, and then it's like, oh, there's this huge bike festival, and even though it's, you know, California, which we, you know, is a big place, Monterey is not going to be nice. You know, it's going to be like mid-50s and just sort of dank there, too. So it's like just, I'm actually leaving 80-degree weather in D.C. to go to 50-degree weather for Sea Otter.
In California.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But I still want to go. I've never been, but one of these years, just like I say about DCCX, one of these years I'm going to actually show up.
This is going to be the year. Sea Otter is kind of like the... inner bike outdoor exhibition,
outdoor demo
with like some races, you know, sort of strewn in between that. So you have the crazy sand and asphalt cyclocross race with the mixed fields, which is pretty awesome.
Which and I believe Tobin won last year.
I think that's right. Yeah.
I don't know who won for the women. Oh, Katarina Nash, maybe.
That sounds right.
I can't remember.
Yeah. But yeah, no, a lot of people there. Hopefully we'll be able to grab some folks and get caught up on the podcast queue and check in with people who are going to be around for that. So it's always trade events aren't my favorite thing. The racing is just like everything else. The racing's cool, and it's also being able to see everyone's cool. So that's
kind of like that mid. Well, it's not really mid, early off season family reunion.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's fun
together.
To
see all the photographers, everybody's
totally.
There.
And you know, for me personally, this one was weird because it's like we already started the World Cup mountain bike season. So I was sort of like already in that mode. And then like Sea Otter seems like it should be the beginning, you know? And then, it kind of is because I was like, that race was in March. And then the next race is until May. Like the next World Cup. So
yeah,
little bit of a break. But I think the main reason for that was there's the Cape Epic, that week long mountain bike race, the relay race that happens at the same, and it's the same promoter that did the World Cup who does the Cape Epic. So they wanted all of those, and it worked out for them. You know, they wanted all of those world class riders to come for the World Cup and then stay for Cape Epic, which many of them did. So that was a win for them, but that's why the scheduling's so funny with that happening so early in the year.
So I have a question about Sea Otter for you. Do they have a garage race?
They do not have a garage race. But, you know, if they're
listening.
Which
just ended for you, right?
I was going to say, if they're listening and they want the proven formula for having a garage race, they could contact us. Yeah.
Oh my God, dude. The pictures and videos looked so amazing this year.
It's always fun. It was a great series. And Scott, it pays to have a good team around you because between South Africa and going on spring break vacation with my family. And missing one of the weeks because it got snowed out. I went to one.
Oh, so, man.
Which was good. It was the last one. It was amazing. It was awesome. I got a video up at youtube.com/CXHairs. It's only 2.5 minutes long, so you all can go check that out. But, yeah, it's so my experience was doing all the administrative stuff, answering all the emails from the folks that even though it says if your category is closed online, you can still race because we always hold at least 20 spots for a day of registration, with everybody getting very angry that they weren't able to race because it was sold out online, even though that language was clearly there. So right. I had to answer those emails and phone calls from people upset that they couldn't race. And then the great one was like, you know, people asking for special favors to get in there. Hey, man, yeah, can you just squeeze us in? I know it's closed. I'm like, dude, just show up.
Just show, yeah.
Read.
This is how this works. Well, and I want to know this too. Did you have a motorized skateboard race?
We didn't. It was scheduled, and it was, you know, maybe we'll do it next year. And it a little disappointing. The guy, you know, it's a good lesson. Thankfully, the stakes were not very high, but it's a good lesson, especially when you're trying to launch a product or bring out a piece of merch or something like that, that the internet isn't real life. People are happy to spend their money, their hypothetical money. If you ask them if they want something, like, oh, I'm coming out with this new, you know, bike, and anybody interested in this concept? And everybody's like, yeah, it'd be awesome. I'd definitely get one of those. I'd get one of those. And then they're like, sweet, and they've come out with this whatever it is, and like no one buys it. That's like
exactly.
The internet is not real life. That's kind of what happened here. You know, he was like, oh, I can guarantee 10 people will be there. You know, it's going to be awesome. I'm like, sweet. You know, and it's for me, it was like, all right, I can add 20 minutes to the end of the day, and it'll be fun. It'll be a spectacle as long as everybody signs like 2 waivers. one waiver.
That's
and
the
a backup
lawyer,
waiver.
The lawyer in you is like, okay, how many waivers do we need for this?
But, yeah. So one guy was out there just on practice laps with it, and it looked really cool. I mean, he was zipping around there.
Oh, I think if you had 10 people on those things, racing in the I think it would be awesome to watch.
And they look amazing. I want one. And the thing about that versus, especially if you're looking at it from a getting around and just riding a skateboard in general, the one thing that with my very, very, very poor skateboarding skills, it's the whole stopping part, especially, you know, if you're going downhill at all and you start speeding up, you're like, you just got to bail. These things have brakes.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't think I realized that.
So you can accelerate
and
then you can just like come on in and stop on a dime, which is.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, you know, you need to get Mickey Vukovic involved. That's what you need.
Seriously.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah. He probably.
He was.
Mickey, let us know your views on
electric
skateboards.
Yeah, because that might be a whole like thing.
Yeah.
Well, could you do a race with regular skateboards? Is it all downhill? Like, is it downhill on a?
Oh, we had there was one guy. So we have like our anything goes race, which is literally anything goes. We had, I think this year we may have had right around 10 unicycles in there.
Nice.
These like little kids bikes that people are putting, you know,
like a drifter big wheel kind of thing with the rubber front tire and the plastic rear
wheels. We had at least 4 or 5 mini penny farthings out there.
Oh.
Like a bike that I had never seen until last year. And then there was like this whole class of them out there.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah, so, but one guy was out there on just straight up skateboard, and he was doing okay. It is 2 levels, so you do have, a climb, you know, from G4 to G3, and then your descent back from G3 back down to G4 for the parking garage.
Okay,
yeah,
gotcha. That's cool.
That's always the descent into the 180 turn, that is the, you want the cyclocross handshake where you're going up and checking people's tire pressure. That's kind of the garage handshake. That'll test your tire pressure right there, because if you're one of these guys, even though we tell them, you know, wide tires, low tire pressure, you're not going to pinch flat. It's all showing up with the 21 millimeter 120 psi, and that's the corner that you hear as they're sliding across the floor.
That's the waiver corner, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and that's what that movie is. It's so dangerous. I'm like, this is what I get from all like the road racers. Oh, it's too dangerous. My season's coming up. I can't do that. It's too dangerous. Those floors are slick. I'm like, you're a Cat 5 racing crits on asphalt. When you crash,
yeah. Like in the rain and gravel, yeah, and all kinds of crap.
You're gonna be sleeping with, you know, like your sheet sticking to you for a week from all the road rash.
Exactly.
It's like no road rash in the garage.
Yeah. And do that many people slide out? I mean,
it's rare.
It's still concrete, right? I mean, yeah, it's not like it's.
Yeah, I will put up our safety record versus up against any crit or road race in the country.
Yeah. So. Well, maybe next year I'll get to that.
You should come out for that. It's a good. The hilarious thing too,
man,
is that it's like, you know, for as much as you and I and every little promoter out there has pulled their hair out trying to figure out how to get press coverage of your cyclocross event, and how they just don't care. This is such a spectacle and so easy that I think we had four different TV stations, like newspaper coverage.
Well, it's so unique too. I mean, that's one thing about it, right? Yeah. It's such an easy, and
it's like evening, so it's such an easy evening news that they can just pop up, do a live spot from there. Look at these idiots racing their bikes
Look
in
at
the garage, guys. You know? And okay, cool.
Because I remember like when the Pontiac Silverdome. I don't know if you remember. That's where the Detroit Lions used to play.
Yeah.
Up in Pontiac is a big, huge, it's kind of like the Metrodome in Minneapolis. And when rollerblading was first, becoming popular, they used to go rollerblade around the outer ring at the Silverdome, you know, where the concession stands were at the Silverdome. And even they were just there doing it and doing workouts and stuff. And the news used to go cover that because it was just this weird way of using, you know, this indoor thing that we have, and people are having fun with it. So it's awesome. That's one of the things I think that's cool about that garage racing too. Same kind of thing, you know.
Does the Silverdome still exist?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I remember there was this, there's just like, I think it was a BMX guy that did some like stunt video in there. And
okay.
It was like riding through the old press room. It's like, it's just one of these things, like people just like left. Like the chairs are still there.
Yeah.
And there's still papers. Everything's knocked over. And he's like, and the windows are all like knocked down. He's like riding through the window and then like jumping down. They set up like little ramps like into the ball. And like it was pretty crazy.
It's like the ghost of the silver. Yeah. For some reason in the whole Detroit area, they don't like to tear their old buildings down. They like to just leave them and let them. Like for Tiger Stadium, man, which, you know, I was a huge baseball fan, have a great affinity for Tiger Stadium. But, you know, at some point it's just an eyesore. You got to just get rid of it, you know? So, but people wanted it to just sit there. It's like, what do you want it to just sit there forever? You know, it can't just stay there forever. And Silverdome, same way. And every building in Detroit area is like that. So the people here just have these love things with the old buildings. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's kind of like riding around Baltimore. Yeah, it's like,
yeah, it's cool. I mean, hey, you come, if anybody's looking for an awesome critical mass ride to come to, the Detroit critical mass is really cool because of that kind of thing. You do get to see a bunch of really cool old architecture and cool old stuff. So,
yeah.
It's nice. Awesome for that. So
sweet.
And the velodrome, we have a velodrome now, man.
I know. That's awesome.
In Detroit. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you been out there?
I've been to it. I was there just to see the, like a practice. They were doing a class. I wasn't there for racing. and it is gnarly, dude. It is really short, so it's compact. So I'm telling you, in the turns, it's almost all turns, to be honest. There's no spot where the banking goes away completely, but in the tight turns, it's like 50 degrees.
Yeah, that's just nuts.
It is, but I tell you what, it is exciting, and it is just gnarly. Speaking of Mickey Vukovic, that's who he was here riding it, and he's done a lot of track, you know, racing, and he was like, yeah, this is the gnarliest track I've ever ridden.
Oh, that's awesome.
This thing is awesome. Yeah, he's like, this thing is going to be a blast. So, yeah, it's just been, the racing has been really fun, and it's just really cool. Great to see, so.
Nice.
And hopefully you'll get a lot of kids like into track, you know. I think that's great. That's a great entry. It's a great entry avenue for kids to get into cycling, in my opinion. So hopefully it'll spark some of that. The Lexus Velodrome, people will come and check it out.
Cool. Other than that, what have you been up to, Scott? Other than cranking out some Bike Shop CX shows.
Bike Shop CX shows. And for people, you know, we have our little special Bike Shop shorts that we do now for Wide Angle Podium subscribers. I'm going to be posting the newest version of that today. And it's like the little 5 or 10 minute extra stuff we put out for all the subscribers. So if you're not a subscriber, this is a good reason to do that. Yeah. So I've been working on that. Yeah, putting out the regular.
So they should go to Wide Angle Podium. .com/donate and yes. become a member
and you get the special link, the secret link, and you can listen to all the extra Bike Shop shorts. So
yeah, the Bike Shop shorts, those have been awesome. That's cool.
Yeah,
it's
one of them wasn't that short. I kind of got it's like 20 minutes, but that's all right. It's just a little, you know, way to give a little extra to people that subscribe. So
it's okay. It's cool. The short, that's a relative term. You know, it's like there's
it's shorter than the regular show.
Exactly. There's a photographer, videographer, Peter McKinnon on YouTube who just got huge, like millions of viewers. But he does like all these tutorials, and it's really cool. But he always had this 2 minute Tuesday, and the joke was he can never, you know, they were all like 7, right. 8. 10, 12 yeah. minutes long, you know, it's like not even close to 2 minutes.
And then I'm helping some people build wheels. Man, it's pretty exciting. I have a, you know, the challenge every year is to try and get one more person to come into cyclocross, right? That's like,
yeah,
I try and do that. And in the last few years I've been successful. And this year, I got this new young kid. He's a gravel grinder. And I got him to do his first cross race last year. He's 16. And he was just in the shop yesterday. He's like, dude, I'm ready to build some tubular wheels for this coming cross season, because I'm going to be
nice.
I'm gonna do the whole OVCX series. I hooked him up with our friend Drew Dizzle Dillman, who is coaching him now.
Oh, so fantastic.
He's getting coached. Yep. And he's all in for next season. And it's just awesome. So we went and worked out what we're going to do to build up a set of wheels for him. And he's coming to the bike co-op and going to build them himself and glue them and learn how to do all that stuff. So
that's great.
Yeah. Really
that
cool.
Is great.
Really yeah. cool. Yep. Yeah.
Cool.
I'm very excited
all
about
right.
that. So, yeah.
Fantastic.
And then I'm just planning my season, man.
Yeah.
We got the Michigan Coast to Coast ride coming up next month. I got Amanda Nauman's going to be staying at my house, and her and David are both doing that race. She's
going to
be doing it in prep for Dirty Kanza, of course. And we'll be heading up to the little bit northern part of Michigan. And this is a cool race. I should tell people, in case they haven't listened to it on our show, the whole idea, it's about 210, 215 mile course. Is you start on the east coast of Michigan, and the official start is when the sun comes up over the lake, right? You're right on the coast of Lake Huron there. And so you start, you see the sun rise and you start, and the goal is to ride across the state of Michigan over to Lake Michigan and get there before the sun sets on the other side. So that gives you about, I forget how many hours that is, but you got to average, I think you have to average 15 miles an hour to do that. So
I love that. That is an awesome idea. Love
isn't that.
That
awesome?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, which is tough, you know, 15 miles an hour is tough on gravel, and there's
sure.
some mild single track. There's some logging roads and stuff that they're going through, some sand sections. So That's the whole goal, and it's I'm just really excited about that. There's like three aid stations where we're going to be picking them up and helping them if they need anything, you know, switching out food, switching out water for them, repairing any damage, and then off they go again. So, yeah, that's going to be really exciting. If anybody's interested, go check it out. It's called Michigan Coast to Coast.
Cool.
Up in May.
And
yeah.
And yeah, all right, so we're 30 minutes in. Maybe we should, we said we're going to talk about the schedule. Maybe we should do that.
Actually but do that's, that.
Yeah, but my lead into that for you planning for the season. So, you know, David Palin and I have both listened to you talk about how this year, this year, you're not supporting any riders. You're going to go out to races and watch the races and be a spectator and just enjoy the essence
and
of
soak
cyclocross.
It in.
Soak it all
right.
in from the sidelines. What's your plan for this year?
No, that's still the plan, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a few people I'm going to be helping here and there. You know, like the kid that I just mentioned, I might help, you know, pit for him, but no season long support for me this year. So,
all right.
But we might be having, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too much, but we might be having some down under visitors again.
Right.
So they might require a little bit of help.
Okay.
So
other
than that, though,
it's a process, you know, it's a weaning process. You don't want to like go cold turkey or just mess you completely up.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, you know, it does make it fun, too.
I know.
The hard part is just it's the where it's really so much work for people that, you know, is when you're like all season long, you know, supporting a rider, because then it's all that midweek work that's so time consuming. If you're just pitting on the weekends, that's doable.
Yeah,
that's doable. But we got to do our plan is to do some more recording this season again, right?
Yeah.
At races?
Yeah, completely. Yeah. Those
were
fun.
We
got to
do that.
So here's my question. Did you see the speaking of like making sure that riders' bikes are ready? Lot of chatter around Peter Sagan fixing his own stem while riding, finishing up Paris-Roubaix. And you know, I saw some comments where, you know, that mechanic should be fired, that should never happen. I'm kind of in the camp that you ride that hard over that many cobbles, things are gonna maybe come loose. But you're a guy who's like, you know, and we've had these conversations about certain riders out there who are always having mechanical stuff happen, and it's like, you know, eventually somebody's
got a racing.
Yeah, but always, you know, we see the same people coming in with issues, and you're like,
yeah,
they need a new mechanic type thing because they're obviously not doing the maintenance required. Any
right.
thoughts on the Sagan mid?
Well,
yeah,
it was awesome. I mean, and you should have seen my Twitter feed, man. As soon as he did that, like it, boom! I get all these tweets just came in. I was watching that at the time. Paris-Roubaix is like one of the few road races that I actually stream. I actually, Bill, got up at 5:30 and streamed for 2 hours, watched them ride on pavement.
Wow.
With nothing going on.
That's commitment.
That's how, that was, I think it was me and Tim down in Orlando were the only two watching.
That's awesome.
But anyways, was he fixing that, or was he riding that Future Shock stem and it has some kind of lockout that he was locking out?
You tell me.
I don't know.
I mean, he definitely
was. I'm not familiar.
He definitely was
because
it had, but wouldn't you just, I know, again, you're going to make me talk about tech. Wouldn't you just do that with the little dial on the stem cap?
Is that how it works, or is there some kind
of,
I don't know. I don't know enough about how that thing works.
Like he was just tightening a loose stem, but I don't know.
Because my biggest question about that is, it's not like he just took that wrench and tightened it like a quarter turn.
Yeah.
I mean, he turned the thing like
Was your inner mechanic a little concerned that he didn't have a little mini torque wrench to do that?
Yeah, I tweeted that out too. I'm like, yeah, they should have handed him a torque key for that, man. What's going on? But maybe he was just doing both bolts just to double check it. But no, I actually agree with you on this. Is it's like in Paris-Roubaix, anything goes, man. Stuff just gets shaken loose that wouldn't normally get that way, right?
Yeah.
And while those should certainly have been bolts that are Loctited, maybe the Loctite even failed. Maybe he was bouncing so much that, even the Loctite failed. So I don't blame the mechanics so much on that one because it's that race and it's so much. A cyclocross race is an hour, right? So things aren't going to work loose like that. But in that thing, that's that light, constant vibration for hours and hours and hours.
Right.
And that's going to shake stuff loose. There's just no two ways about it. So plus, I thought it was cool. It was good to see that time
in the race, he was like, kind of riding with the guy, but at the same time when they went to the cobbles you could see that he was definitely like punching it pretty hard and Sagan,
yeah,
definitely not one to like take a straight line through those cobbles, so he's just like shredding all over the place.
Right, here's my other thing, my fanness for Peter Sagan went up a notch because after he did it, someone tweeted this out, and I totally did. After he did it, he gave the wrench back.
Yeah, yeah.
How, it would have been, probably a 3 or 4 millimeter Allen. It'd be so easy to just toss that to the side, right?
Right.
Instead, he goes back to the car and gives the mechanic his tool back. It's like, yes!
The new patron saint of mechanics.
Exactly. For the rest of the season, that guy would have been missing that one wrench.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's awesome.
So, yeah, I like that. I like that. I'm glad I was watching that part too, because I did turn it off for a little bit and then came back and saw that. So, what a great race, man. That dude just, did he attack with like 50K to go?
Something like that.
Caught the break and then just goes and crushes it. So amazing. Yeah.
Here are a couple things, just since sort of a horrible segue into cyclocross. just a couple quick news items, and then we'll get to the schedule, maybe.
Okay.
Telenet Fedea, Tone Aerts, signs until 2020, so extension for him. They're sort of putting their...
Good, because in my opinion, I don't know about you, Bill, but I think we're still yet to see the best from Tone yet. That's still down the road for him.
And especially since we're really unclear about what the future holds as far as full-time commitment for Vanderpool and Van Aert,
True, very true.
He's definitely a guy you want to hang on to because he's right up there with
those guys. Yeah, he's the next person in that line, right?
Yeah.
Would be Tone, I would say. Maybe Sweek in there too, but he's definitely in that group.
Yep. And then a guy who had a great season, and whose contract was up with Telenet Fedea and had a lot of people pursuing him was Dan Soda. So he has left on good terms and has moved over to the Powell Sausen Vastgo Service team. So that's one transfer that we're going to see.
Yeah, that'll be good.
And then I guess the only other really big news on the cyclocross front, Sophie De Boer will be riding Trek. Is she saying Trek bikes? I'm after, getting hit on the wrist for, I'm going to say
you're going to say Trek frames.
She's riding on Trek frames.
I think that's she started the new team last year and was riding the Colnago, right?
Yep.
And what was she riding before that? I don't remember off the top of my head. Was she on a Colnago when she did the new team? Or
I can't remember.
Has this been now two consecutive years with two new frame sponsors? I can't remember.
I'm not sure.
But that's a great sign. I mean, I think that's a great thing for Trek. I can totally see why they would do that. I can totally see why she would do it, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's a good thing for both ways. And
that's now, four top writers on Trex for next season with Evie, Ellen, Sophie, and of course Katie.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. They'll have, yeah, that's a good, you know, that's a good group to have for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And then all, and then of course all of Telenet Fidea for the men.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's hard.
And,
to,
and it's,
they're going to be,
you know,
present.
Not to sing their praises too much. One of the things she mentioned, you know, that sort of sold her was going to Waterloo for the World Cup and just seeing how they do it and meeting people and just sort of seeing that operation and feeling like it was a good match for her. So it's kind of interesting. You know, it reminds me, and they do that. They're like, you know, for all those riders who are like, we'll take care of you. We'll get you anything you need. We got places for you to change. We'll feed you. We'll do all this kind of stuff. It reminds me a lot of, when Mark Cuban bought the Dallas Mavericks, you know, in the NBA, it was always, you know, have these beautiful, locker rooms for the home team, you know, and they have like these huge, like easy chairs and video game, like the whole just nine yards. Like basically it's your, you know, the man cave down there. And then the visiting,
then they have a bench.
Yeah, and then the visiting, you know, locker room was just like dank and, you know, like rats running around and just the worst conditions, like showers that kind of just dripped out of there.
Yeah.
And Cuban's whole thing was like he was going to make, he made the visitors' locker room just as fancy as the home team. Uh-huh. And his thinking was, I want these guys who are coming to Dallas, who are like the best players in the league, to see how good we have it here.
Yeah, and to want to come here.
To want to come here. So when they're free agents, they're going to be like, oh, that place is pretty swang. Maybe we'll just go over there. So I think, so basically using his visiting locker room as a marketing tool for
exactly.
Riders. And I think that's exactly. That in that same vein, that's kind of what, you know, Trek has going for when they're inviting everybody to their home and then having this World Cup there. So
they invite us. They treat us nice, right?
Yeah.
They're like, Chad Brown is like, hey, just let me know whatever you guys need. We'll do a show. We'll do this. We're like, yes, you guys are awesome.
Yeah.
So we'll have to do that.
Yeah. If they can take care of that weather and not make it 120 degrees out, that'll be good. Other than that. All good.
All right. Speaking of Trek.
Yeah. Should we talk about the schedule?
The schedule. Let's do it.
I'm
excited. So we were talking, Bill, before we, I think it was part of our pre-show. Let's really quickly, Canada, man.
Canada coming on strong.
Strong this season. That's really exciting.
Right out of the gates, opening up the North American UCI season. So this is interesting because we have two new races on the first weekend of September, September 1 and 2.
Yep.
You have this Toronto Cyclocross. Interesting there because, you know, we're going to talk about later on with, or you did with Gloucester and C1, that Toronto wanted to be a C1. First year race, they were not allowed to be by UCI.
That's not allowed.
Yeah,
so
they're a double C2 weekend. I believe that Scott from Rochester is also the promoter for that race. So he's sort of bringing all that great stuff that they have done for years with Rochester Cyclocross and sort of moving it up north a little bit and up to Toronto and promoting that race as well.
I believe you're right with that. And you remember, I think, was last year the first time you went to Rochester?
Yes. Yeah.
One of the things I remember about that race is you and me afterwards going, this was amazing.
Yeah.
What a great race these guys put on, you know?
Yeah.
And so if they can bring that to the Toronto and that kicks off the season in North America as a C1 next year, that's going to be huge.
Yeah. And then going up against that, so it's kind of interesting. You know, we got this is going to be another, you know, two East Coast races, but you figure Toronto pretty far north going up against another, not first year race, but first year UCI race. I believe this is just their second or possibly third year, is the Deutsch Brewery Go Cross in Roanoke, Virginia. So this is a race that last year, I think, had huge prize money. And I think they also, I believe it was the, it's the Roanoke Visitors Bureau that is behind funding this. I believe they comped possibly every woman racer last year.
Oh, that was the race. I remember somebody doing that. That was them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's they definitely, cool. you know, left their mark pretty solidly and really wanna grow that scene. It's Roanoke is like VACX has a nice scene. Roanoke's Western, not West Virginia, but Western Virginia. So right down there in the sort of, so if you're coming from DC, it's like a 5-hour drive to Roanoke, Virginia. Tennessee and that kind of, and North Carolina, it's a shorter drive. So for those folks, really easier to get to. They have an airport, so easy to fly into. But the one thing was, but the VACX scene, which is a good scene, it's a good cyclocross scene. The one thing that is, in my opinion, a challenge for them is that they go coast to coast in their series, and this is part of that. So you will have a race in Hampton Roads and Virginia Beach, which is basically in the Atlantic Ocean, and then you will have a race in the Blue Ridge
all
Mountains.
The way on the way. Virginia
in
east to west. Virginia is a long state, east to west.
So week to week, like you're, and I know all of you people who are in the Western United States right now are like rolling your eyes. We drive that much every race. Like, but I have to tell you that the traveling is different. I mean, that's like between traffic and everything else, it's a much different different drive from one end of the state to the other. So they got a lot of good races, but a lot of ground to cover. I think, you know, for like, I compare it to our scene, and we're kind of spoiled in that we're under an hour to everything. You know, we got like 20 races and they're all right in the metro area. So but that being said, this race growing out of that scene is pretty awesome. And
that's cool.
A little sad for me, because I am really split between where I'm going to end up on that first weekend.
You mean between
in September.
That and Toronto?
Between Roanoke and Toronto.
Yeah, me too. I don't know, because those are about both equal distance for me. I went Toronto's maybe a little bit farther, but it'd be really cool to see that. On the other hand, Roanoke's a little closer. It'd be really cool to see that. So I'm in the exact same boat, man.
A lot of I'll say it like they do in Virginia. A lot of war between the states stops for you to make if you went to Roanoke.
Yes, people know I'm a Civil War buff, so that's true. That would definitely, you know, I could do a stop at Gettysburg, stop at Sharpsburg. Ugh, I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll have to see.
Got Antietam right around there. Yeah, the whole deal.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
All right,
I was just there too, by the way, Bill.
Oh yeah,
like 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Anything else we need on that first weekend?
No, but then, you know, there's a 2-week jump there to the next one at Nittany Lion. But in between there, just so people, you know, is the Alma GP.
Oh,
so,
of course. Yeah.
Get up to Michigan, do the Alma GP. There you go. Just a shameless plug for my boy
no,
JB.
No, it's fine. JB will be happy. He'll check that box.
All right, Nittany Lion Cross.
Yeah, so Nittany is a race that for years was the season opener as far as UCI races went. And then last year, Dave Miller was a promoter, passed away, and they decided not to have a UCI race for that year, and it's good to see them back on the schedule. I was actually really happy to see Nittany coming back as a UCI race. It's one of these races that in the Mid-Atlantic, it's kind of, there are many of them, but this, as far as UCI race is concerned, this was always like, this is the kickoff race, and everybody sort of made the trip up to up to Pennsylvania for that race at the Velodrome. So so it's good to see them back on the schedule.
Yeah. And kicking it off with a double C2 again. I think that's a great that's the perfect spot for that race. And I think it's going to be, you know, it's a great, and even though it's not the first race anymore, I think it's a great second race of the season, especially with the week off in between. It might draw a lot of, you know, more people might tend to go to it than with that week off. If they didn't go to one of the other two, they're going to see all the highlights and stuff and go, oh, I wish I had gone to the opening races of the weekend. I'm really going to go to the next one and then get over to Nittany Cross in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
for sure.
It'll be interesting to see who shows up there. I think it's probably going to pan out to be more of a second tier UCI racer, because right on the heels of that, I mean, it's a tough travel for most of our top shelf racers, because you have C1 in the no longer Cross Vegas but now Reno Cross on September 19th. So the traditional midweek Wednesday race, Cross Vegas, no longer Las Vegas after Interbike left, Interbike now in Reno, Cross Vegas following that event, still having the Wednesday night race rebranded as Reno Cross. It's a C1. And that's so...
It's hard to miss. If you have a chance of going to that, it's hard to miss.
Yeah. You know, and it's really interesting, too, because it's the same thing that has happened. You know, we remember that Cross Vegas was a World Cup race, and that it was Cross Vegas and Jingle Cross, and those two, you know, kind of back-to-back was this crazy travel schedule for these racers, you know, who were made mostly for the Europeans who are in the U.S. to race these World Cups. Now we're looking at going from Reno Cross, and then same thing, you know, this is just it's now a C1, not a World Cup, but it's 2 days before a World Cup, which is our first U.S. World Cup in Trek, September 21.
Yeah that's tough. I mean, because you know, you kind of
Before you get into it, I just screwed that up, because the C2 race is 21. So they actually have a couple more days between that. It's the 23rd. Yeah. So that's Friday, Saturday, Sunday for the World Cup. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Because you could think, do I just start my season by traveling out to Reno Cross and then kind of work my way back? If I'm coming from the East Coast, do I just travel out to Reno Cross and then kind of work my way back? You know, and just start the season that way, which is definitely a way to do it. People coming from the West Coast, obviously, that's a no-brainer, right? You can just shoot over to Reno and then continue on to Wisconsin and Iowa, and it makes that kind of cool. It's still a long distance, right? But at least you're always moving in one direction. You're not crisscrossing all over the place and stuff like that. So very interested to see what Brooke does at Reno Cross this year. You know, most of us went out to the venue for Nationals. It's an interesting venue. I think we had a blast out there. That place has tons of potential, all kinds of stuff you could do with it. So I'm very interested to see what Brooke will do with that. And, you know, that's kind of another one on my list with a little question mark of, you know, can I get out there for that Wednesday and still get back for Trek?
Right.
We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I think
for me, it might be a matter of driving to Waterloo, parking the van, hopping on a plane, flying to Reno, flying back to Waterloo, and then doing it that way.
So, that'd be awesome.
Instead of trying to do everything from home. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Man, if I can find somebody who needs that coverage, maybe I'll join you. That would be pretty
sweet.
Yeah,
man. You could fly to Detroit, drive with me to Waterloo, and we could do the whole thing, man.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. And then we could shoot back to Chicago and do another thing at Rafa again.
I know, if they have us back. That was a lot of fun last year.
right.
The talk about Reno Cross. Yeah, I think just sort of preliminarily sort of chatting with Brooke, and who knows, you know, what he's going to do at this point. I think if you watch the Nationals coverage, or actually if you saw any of my shots that I had out there when I was like running along those super long tracking shots, that section, which is like right below the finish line, is this big sort of lower bowl area, and we know how Brooke loves bowls. I think I have a feeling, I'm not going to put words into his mouth, that a lot of the course that was out near that creek crossing and the Belgian steppes may move its way into that bowl to make it a little more condensed. So it may be a more compact course, which should be more spectator friendly. So that, but it'll be interesting to see. I'm sure that those, they always have crazy ideas and come up with some cool stuff. So it'll be interesting to see what Reno Cross ends up looking like.
That's the same feeling I got from Brooke talking to him when we were out there, is that, yeah, it's going to be much more condensed in that lower bowl, maybe up on that flat part, you know, come up onto that flat section where the, maybe his stage will be where, you know, Elvis and stuff is. I don't know if he's still planning to do Elvis, but Elvis would fit in Reno, right? Elvis went to Reno.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see. But I think
maybe,
in general,
maybe he'll have a Johnny Cash impersonator.
There you go. Yeah. That would be awesome. Maybe both. But I think in general, yes, much more compact. And I'm just really interested to see what Brooke does with that.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So
and
Reno
then
Cross.
Then the World Cup.
Yeah. Then we have our C2, sort of our appetizer warm-up event. It's a Friday race, right? That C2. It's Friday night. And then Saturday is always just sort of a fun day out at there's a lot of the Trek Cup races.
Yeah, there's
on,
there's
on
USAC racing.
Yeah,
there's USAC racing, I believe, on Saturday, but no UCI stuff.
Yeah, plus the, you know, at least last year they had the Legends race where Sven and Jens were racing and many, many costumed participants. So that's always a fun time. And then
Sven
Sunday
got outsprinted by the cow.
By the cow. Yeah, and then we got the World Cup on September 23rd, and then. You know, we flip-flopped the World Cups this year. So we have Trek is first, and then the next weekend, September 28th through 30th is Jingle Cross, and with the middle of that, so it looks like Saturday is going to be the World Cup.
The World Cup, yeah. With and then the Sunday is still a C1 though. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whew.
I'm always
C2
amazed.
On Friday,
I'm always
World
amazed
Cup,
at,
and then C1.
At who does the triple on for Jingle
that
Cross
is a tough,
weekend.
That is a tough ask, man.
Yeah.
To do those all three. Which, I know it's by far the most popular thing is to pick two and do two of them. Obviously, you're probably, if you qualify, you're going to do the World Cup. If you don't, it's an easy decision.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a tough decision.
I'll tell you this. As a spectator and just as sort of the vibe of the event, I think as far as the riders, they would not want to do this because it's still a little sketchy as far as lighting goes. But man, that Friday night race is a blast. If that was a C1, that would just be nuts.
That is one of the best races of the every season, I agree, is the Friday night Jingle Cross race. 2 years ago, I mean, we got video up, Chris Aitken, when the Australians were here with me, traveling with me, that was just a mud fest.
Oh, yeah,
and
still raining.
People should go check out those videos if they get a chance. And then last year, I remember taking a picture of the power washers, and they were completely empty, no one around for as far as you could see. And I'm like, what a difference a year makes, right? But the racing was still amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing that night. It's hard to miss that. As a fan, I would say definitely plan to get out to that Friday night race if you can, as well as just Jingle Cross in general.
Oh, yeah. And
Jingle Cross is my favorite race of every season.
You know,
it's just my favorite race to go to.
I love having all of that racing. I love the 3 days of racing. But I think the one small bit of criticism there, and I know, you know, you sort of are with me on this, is that you get to that Sunday C1 race, it's almost a letdown. The crowds don't show up. It's a little more sparse. I mean, the racing is still awesome. I'm still glad they do it. But man, environment wise, you're coming off. It's like it just kind of peters out a little bit after the World Cup.
Yep. I agree. And I think it's almost like you get this afterthought feeling. Not that the race promoters approach it that way, because I just
oh,
think
no, they don't.
They've got this, that race dialed.
Yeah.
But it's just the people don't show up and the atmosphere after being so hyped for Friday and Saturday. It's just this natural. You got to have this little natural kind of a letdown a little bit in the atmosphere. Organization wise, it's still as good as any race in the country, I think. But just you got to take a breath at some point because you're so hyped for everything. And that does tend to happen. But still, if you can get out for all 3 days, highly recommend
it. Yeah.
Highly recommend.
Yeah. No, they do a great. Both World Cups are world class in the U.S. They really.
I agree.
All right. Moving. So after the World Cups are done and all of the Euros head back to, well, not all. I think some will actually stick around. You know, they're good UCI points to be had. But that October 6th and 7th weekend, we have another split. These are the kind of splits that, you know, even though both of these races are awesome and this Sacramento race that we're going to talk about is one that I think those guys, I mean, you've been there, but they've done an amazing job building that race and promoting it and have a really good thing going there. What we love is that you have Baltimore and Sacramento. You have an East Coast race, West Coast race. That's what we want to see. You know, for all of our racers who are at that UCI level, yet, you know, it still will be hugely expensive for the West Coast folks to be traveling all the way to the East Coast, especially after these World Cup weekends. It's nice. This is the way that we want to see it. Two opportunities as far away from each other as possible. There's no real competition there. You got two great races that are going to each draw a great crowd.
And you can even roll that into the next weekend, too, because the following weekend we got Gloucester and Boulder, which aren't as spread out, but still, there's not going to be crossover in those two. So I think those 2 weeks are almost like, I almost kind of thinking of those as like the midpoint of the season, right? As when we have these two split weekends, great racing on both coasts. The Sacramento race, I'm telling you, if you're on the West Coast, you're not missing out anything, man. That race is great. It's going to get better every year. The vibe is like, I don't even know what to compare it to. And it's just amazing. I loved going to that race, and I'm really torn, you know, between that and Charm City. I'm kind of torn. Although I got to say, I got to give it up to Charm City for some of the stuff that they've done with their pit stuff. Remember we talked about the Charm City and the issues they had in their pit. They've been tweeting out pictures.
Yep.
And I am so impressed. I kind of want to just go for that.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me how seriously they've taken this and that they're improving the pit, and the stuff that they're showing on social media looks amazing. So just the idea that they recognize, okay, this is an issue that we have. Let's fix it.
Yeah.
Instead of like, and I'm not saying they did it because we said anything, but I think they recognize too that, oh, this, our pit needs some help here, right? And let's fix it. And let's make it, I think they said, like, we want to have the best pit in the country.
And
great.
That's the way that those guys have think. And yep. I am biased. I work with the Charm City promoters closely, especially with DCCX. We kind of look at those as sister races, and they want to, and they're not afraid to just go for it. Oh, double, you know, flyover that's a story and a half high made out of scaffolding. Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah,
no problem.
Let's
do it. You know, they're always they're always up for trying new things, and I think that Charm City this year is going to be even better than in the past. I'm really, really, really looking forward to that weekend. But that being said, you know, someday I hope that they're not competing with Sacramento, because I'd love to get out there as well. One thing I will just mention quickly, as far as, you know, we talk about those splits with East Coast, West Coast, and you know as you were saying, you know, we got it the next weekend almost as well. You know, you got Boulder with the Craft Sportswear Grand, oh no, I'm sorry, the U.S. Open of Cyclocross, and then the Craft Grand Prix of Gloucester, you know, back to back.
Right.
The C1s are both on the East Coast. I think we would catch flack if we didn't mention that part of it that still exists. So still,
true.
If you are looking for the top category as far as the UCI goes. Both C1 races, Charm City and Gloucester, for those 2 weekends are on the East Coast.
Yep, yep. So it will maybe someday there'll be a split with that, but we'll see. And I just think it's really cool. Those 2 weekends, remember, that is a huge improvement over what we used to see.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Didn't you agree?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, I will never... people will be sick of me talking about the Cleveland, D.C., UCI standoff.
Weren't there three that weekend?
Yeah. Yeah. And we were so close. But, yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that, you know, maybe we should, because we're getting into it with Gloucester and Charm City, and these were races that last year were part of the U.S. Cup series.
Okay.
USA
What's
Cycling.
That again? Remind me what that
And this was a series, you know, run by Show Air. Ryan Trebon was in charge of it. They brought in money. They brought in excitement. The idea was to bring back that USGP feel of having a cohesive national series. I think that on the whole, it brought a lot of excitement and a lot of attention. Was it an actual national series? I'm not sure. I mean, it was short and it was just in one sort of East Coast Midwest
segment,
yeah. You know, but it was really fun to follow, and it was a good race, you know, and it was fun to see. At this point, you know, Show Air has pulled all of their money out of it, and just recently, just social media wise, Ryan saying he's really not sure what's going to happen, and then the sort of triple whammy on that USA Cycling saying we're not promoting that series as a national series. It is just another, you know, if it happens, big series, just like the Verge series is a, I'm sorry, the
right.
Victoria series is a big
Victoria, yeah.
National UCI series. So no one's holding that out, and especially our national body isn't holding that out as a national series. And that all being said, we're not sure it's happening this year.
Yeah. Which, you know, it's too bad. I think it, like you said, there was, for a few weeks there, it was really exciting, right? And I think to have a continuation of that or even an expansion of that would have been awesome. I think it would be a great thing to see again someday. But, man, these series just really having trouble jumping up to the next level, right?
Yeah.
So we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens.
You know, and it's,
I doubt we'll see it this year. I would be amazed if it happens.
It's the debate that never ends. And I'm sure if you went back on your old shows to the Crosshair Radio, TDDTI shows, is something that interviews I've done, it's been discussed ad nauseum. You know, about the need for a national series and just how hard that is to pull off. And, you know, for a while there, USA Cycling was like, okay, maybe this is something that we want to get involved in, but then, you know, there's conflicts with that. And do you really want your federation running a series? And I don't think you do, in the same way that the UCI with the World Cups is now a competitor to Dave Ave and all these other series. You know, it's a really weird place that you don't want to see them necessarily involved in. But yeah, I think this was a step in the right direction, and maybe down the road, you know, we may see that again. I think right now what we should embrace is more of these smaller series and just just good racing week to week. I mean, that's the kind of thing. And I think that, you know, part of it and part of what these races want, what the racers really want, is a narrative for the season. So there has to be a way to figure out that narrative, be it you're following the C1s or whatever else. You can't follow 30 plus UCI races right. and make a coherent narrative out of that. That's I think is the biggest issue that both sponsors and riders have. So
yeah, and I mean, that's basically how I look at it too. I mean, I always sit down, where are the C1s in the World Cups this year, right? Okay.
Yep.
That's where I'm planning my travel around, and I'll fit C2s in around that. If I can't get to a C1, maybe there's a C2 that weekend, or what's happening in between weeks, and go from there. So I think that's a popular thing to do. So it kind of seems like there still is a series, but there really isn't.
Yeah.
So
yeah. All right. Let's see. Anything else to say about Boulder or Gloucester other than that Gloucester returning to C1, which is pretty awesome to see.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really going to be hard to... I really want to go to that. So
yeah.
We'll see. Hopefully.
After that, hey, look at that. October 20 what? And 21, there is a race in Sherbrooke in Canada, which is a C2, which I'm sure is a wonderful race. And if you're in the area, you know, you should go check it out. If
where
you're
is
not,
Sherbrooke? Do you know?
I don't know.
I don't even
I
know where that
look
is.
It up. I was going to say, if you're not there, you should go to Washington, D.C. for DCCX.
Come but it's not going to matter because this is the year, Bill.
Oh, sure. I'll believe it when I see it. You have
I can't
to
say anything yet, but I had there's going to be there's like reinforcing reasons for me to go this year. So
all right.
I think this is going to be it, man. This is going to be the year.
You know, you got Abraham Lincoln's summer cottage right there on the grounds. You can mark that off your list.
And I got and you got the cemetery right next to it, right?
Yep. Yep. Certainly
yep,
do.
Yeah. There's some Civil War guys I gotta go see, so
now
see
I know.
Their headstones.
Now I know how to Sherbrooke is in southern Quebec.
Oh, okay.
So
all right. Perfect.
There you go. It looks beautiful.
So what's the big plans for DCCX this year? What do you got? Is it like
we have some stuff in the works that we're pretty excited about, just not ready really to announce cool. yet, but we are continuing to grow that event and look what we can do to bring people in and just, you know, continue the festival atmosphere that we like to create. I think it's a bit of a unique race in that we are in the city. We get a lot of people who mm-hmm. actually show up who don't race just to watch the race and hang out and you know, have some yeah. pie and some food and some beer and yeah, so that's kind of a cool thing that has grown up. You know, and it's like, yes, the DCMTB who started the race, you know, Crosshairs who came in there since it's been a 2-day event and then on to UCI. We've done a lot of cool stuff, you know, DCMTV
yeah.
and us, but the thing that we always have going for us that I always talk about in having a successful race is we have density and we have bike racers
right.
around here and we have people who are showing up so we can get, you know, a couple thousand people out there to watch our race. And that's,
yeah.
that's pretty freaking cool, especially for a C2.
That is cool.
So.
That is cool.
If you're in the area or you're looking for a destination or just, you know, want to come out, you can see the monuments. You can go and visit Washington,
yeah.
D.C., bring your kids there. It's a good learning experience. And then we have museums. You may not have heard. There are museums here. and then go hang out at a pretty awesome cyclocross race.
Yeah, it's what before I even knew you, it was like DCCX was a race I always wanted to go to and never was able to go. So I'm extremely excited
awesome.
For this year to
that's
go to
great.
That. So,
all right.
Yes, yes.
Moving on to the next weekend, 27-28. You know, I know we talked about it in our final awards for TDD TIIE. I am so looking forward to heading back to Cincy. DeVu.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yep.
having never been there and seen, and hearing people talk about it, and you're like, yeah, 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 I'm sure it's great, but I love that venue. Just
yes, me too.
Yeah, so really looking forward to that weekend. That's a C1, C2 weekend. Nothing
and
is else.
And is not the Pan Am race this year.
Correct.
We should
yeah, once
that.
Again, not
yeah.
the not the Pan Am race.
Yeah.
Pan Am race. Yeah, we'll get to it for the next weekend. Yeah.
The next weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, Cincy, if you haven't been out to Cincy, I don't know what else do we need to see. Both days of that, both days of that are great.
It's centrally located.
Yeah.
Well, with the new,
you know,
people,
yeah,
the second race is in Carter Park this first time ever.
I just noticed that. So that's interesting. Do you know yep. anything? Have you talked to the Hermans?
Well,
what's the story there?
I don't know specifically about Carter Park, but as many people may know, Kings Park 2 years ago was the last race at Kings, where they had had races there forever and junior training, you know, days there during the week, all season long. And it was just a great thing for them to use. They decided they were going to build a road through it. So Kings kind of had to go away. But so last year they had Harbin, which kind of filled in, right, for the – and I think Harbin, they're still going to be raced there as part of OVCX. It's just not a UCI race this year, I believe.
Yeah.
But last year, all the locals from Cincinnati, where all the people that I know there were saying, man, we've – they kind of moved the youth days that they were doing during the week to this Carter Park. And they were talking about it. They're like, you know what? This Carter Park is really awesome. In fact, it might even be a little bit better than Kings for a cyclocross race. And so that kind of, they kind of built on that. And now this year it's, you know, year one of, as a C2 of a UCI race. So
that's awesome.
Very excited to see Carter Park.
Yeah.
If it mimics DeVue at all, it's going to be amazing. And yeah, so I mean, that alone is a reason to go, but like you said, Bill, DeVue, I mean, what can you say?
It's one of the
stars on your calendar.
Oh yeah. And the other big takeaway, this is where the, mechanics of the world are rock stars this weekend. that whole thing, that and the organizers, the race organizers that you have to decamp. At the end of a day, after the men's elite race, you have to tear everything down
and move.
And not go to like your host housing or your hotel and get dinner and go to sleep. No, you have to take it all to the next venue and set it all up in the middle of the night so that it's ready to go the next morning for the next race.
And you remember what this weekend used to be called?
Oh, the triple, yeah.
Cincy 3.
Yeah.
So you used to have to do that two nights in a row. You do it at Harbin, then you do it at DeVue, and then you'd bring everything to Kings.
Yeah.
Oh, a killer.
I remember I was staying with our friends of the show, the Herman. And I got home pretty late after doing everything I needed to do at DeVue, and no one was in the house. And it's like 11 and it's midnight and no one's in the house. And then they finally get back. I'm like, where were you? We're like, moving the start line for tomorrow.
We're setting up at the other course.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And it's very challenging. You're right. You're completely right. It is extremely challenging for teams, team setup, mechanics, everyone involved. And I don't know if people remember, but 2 years ago at Kings, after all that, I'll never forget that start at Kings. Like, everyone's on the start line. You know, everybody in pre-riding, everyone's got their tires, their pressure dialed, everything in. They get up to the start line, and like 30 seconds before they're ready to go, it starts raining.
Oh, man.
And it's like the pit exploded, dude.
Yeah.
People were flying into the pit for tires and wheel exchanges, and it was just one of the most amazing times I've ever had in the pit at any cyclocross race, because it was just such complete chaos and it was awesome.
That's awesome.
It was just awesome.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll see something like that again. So
nice. All right. Moving to November 3rd and 4th, we have, I believe it's a new race up in Falmouth, I probably pronounced it wrong. Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Which is the really rad festival of cyclocross. Which looks like a cool event.
Sure.
A little typo on the UCI calendar where they call both days day two. But other than that.
Oh, you're right.
That's going up against the Silver Goose Cyclocross Festival. That's a race that's been around for a while, became a UCI race. I think last year might have been the first year they were a UCI race. And
I think that's right.
You know, this is really cool. This is the first time since we've had a Pan American cyclocross championship that it has been outside of the US. So it is in Midland, Ontario, part of the Silver Goose Cyclocross Festival. We're going to have Pan Ams on November 4th up in Ontario.
And it's a cool evolution too, because obviously historically the first couple of years that was at DeVue, and everybody got used to that. Then last year it switched to Louisville. Louisville is not happening as part of the regular schedule this year because of nationals. And so this year it moves into Canada, which I think it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. And it's nice for that Canadian scene. It's a good run-in because they have Pan Am. It's kind of crazy. They have Pan Ams.
Yeah.
And this is much like what we're going to see this season as well at the end of our season, where there isn't this big break and then we have nationals. So if the Canadian racers, they're all going to be gearing up for Pan Ams. I mean, that's going to be it's always a big race for them, even bigger now that it is actually taking place in Canada. And then just a week later, they have their national championship on the 10th.
Exactly. Oh, that's going to be great. That's going to be great. I tell you what, yeah, I'm. That's why the one thing that might tip me away from Toronto at the beginning of the season is that I do not want to miss this Pan Am race in Canada. So that will already be one trip to Canada, I think. So, but yeah, I'm so excited about that. And like you said, they follow it right up with nationals for them. It's going to be a great couple weeks there for them.
Yeah, yeah. The next weekend after that with Canadian National Championships, going up against Adam Meyerson's race, Northampton International, which is, I know, a little unfortunate. I know that he draws pretty well from the Canadian cycling community.
Oh, that's true,
So a little bummer there that couldn't be more, at least geographically, spread out. But is what it is. So those races will take place on that same weekend.
That's another one I've never been to, but I've always wanted to go. And
yeah, me too.
One of these years.
Me too. Especially for how long that race has been going on. You know what I mean? Adam, famously started that when he was in college. And it's pretty crazy how long that race has existed. November 17 and 18, we have Major Taylor and Supercross on the same weekend. So Indianapolis and then upstate New York.
Right.
Yeah.
So still pretty spread out. Yeah. I mean, they're kind of both east of the Mississippi, really.
Right.
But so nothing really for West Coasters, but they are still spread out enough that I think for all being C2s, I think that's still spread out enough that it's not going to affect either one of them tremendously. I will definitely be going to Indy. That is one of my favorite races of the
year.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I know you always talk about that. Yeah.
For people that thing was a swamp last year. Remember, that's the one that we had all the lightning delays?
Right.
Yeah, we were in the van recording, talking with Scott Herman recording, because it was just pouring and lightning and oh my goodness. So, yeah. Definitely on the schedule. So if you're in the Indy area, don't miss that race. You won't be disappointed.
Yeah, and this is where
you ever been to Supercross?
I have not. No.
Yeah, me either.
Bruce goes up there. Buckley goes up there pretty much every year. Looks like a cool event. Looks like a killer elevation changes up there. Like a neat venue. Mm. But so then we take a little break for Thanksgiving, and then this is where, you know, as we've talked about before, I mean, personally, I've been back and forth about when nationals should be. I'm kind of excited for the December nationals. And the thing that is part of that excitement, especially for those who are competing in the UCI, sign of our elite racers, is that it's a killer run up that they can, you know, when they're setting up their training schedules in the past, it's, you know, it's the whole periodization. They have their A races, they have probably Pan Ams, you know, the World Cup first and then Pan Ams.
Right.
And then, you know, really sort of taking a little break, bringing it down and then building it back up in, you know, Arizona or Colorado or somewhere else.
Yeah.
At a
there's
training
this
camp.
Dead spot like in the schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where they had to go and do a training camp to get ready for nationals.
Right. That Tucson was another big
Tucson,
one.
Tucson, yeah. No longer the case, right?
Right.
So
yep.
How all of these elites just are managing their schedule to start with, how they're, you know, going through, because you can't be at your highest, your peak level all season. We all know that. So you have to figure out, you know, we even see it with Wout and those guys are heading off to Mallorca for a couple of weeks. We'll miss some big races, come back, you know, that kind of stuff. So
you got a target.
Yeah. You got a target. So this year, I mean, this is great. And I'm actually, At first, we were concerned that some UCI races would lose their race, but mm-hmm. one of the things that we always talk about that we always kind of lament is that great races like Resolution and Ruts and Guts and this North Carolina Grand Prix are almost forgotten. Just and not because yeah. anything they're doing, because they put on amazing events just because it's such a long season and, you know, it's after Pan Am, everything just kind of slows down. This year, those are going to be key events because it's going to be, you know, staging for nationals and UCI points and working towards Europe and justice and just yep. getting into race shape, just running right up to nationals, which is taking no time off. So, you know, we have
yep.
Resolution Cup, December 1, December 2. We got Ruts and Guts in North Carolina Grand Prix, December 8th and 9th. And then we're all off to Louisville for nationals.
Exactly. Yeah. If I was one of those races, I would be extremely happy, you know, because I completely agree with you. Those were almost like Resolution, North Carolina, and Ruts and Guts were almost like forgotten races. As I mean, don't get me wrong. They still drew talent. They still put on great events, but there was always that lull in there. And I think now that's just going to continue straight on through. It also just makes a nice package for the U.S. season now, right? It's 4 months, September, yeah. October, November, December, right? We got this night and then we're done. We don't have anything hanging on. We don't ever feel like, and then we go on and we start paying attention to Worlds. I think it's really going to elevate those races. It's making me excited about, and you know, I would love to go to Ruts and Guts. I would really, that's like, I'm hoping I can get out there.
Me too. Yeah.
Nationals for me is fairly close in Louisville. I'm hoping I can get that trip in there to get out to Ruts and Guts for the first time ever. And I was never able to do it before, or it was just always a point in the season where I had to take a break or something. Whereas this year I'm hoping I can be like ready to go and, you know, after Major Taylor, get right down there to that. So yeah, I think it's going to be a great thing overall for the U.S. season.
Yeah, I agree. Same with Resolution. We'd love to see what they do there. Those race yep. organizers for both those races, they do just fantastic stuff, you know, from the scoring
exactly.
down to just the infrastructure. I think that those are, those are both events I'd love to check out.
Yeah.
All right. That was it.
There's one more race.
That's the schedule. Oh, what a
Nationals.
Mess. Oh, Nationals. Well, I kind of messed up.
We're going to talk Nationals in Louisville?
Nationals in Louisville. And so
which will be interesting to see, what are they going to do with that park? You know, we had the race there this past season, you know, which they said was kind of a
test
dry run, you know,
yeah.
to test, see about course and maybe some course. I think we're going to see pretty big course design changes.
Yeah, which is
they
great.
Were already,
you know,
talking about them before the racing was finished last year,
which is
so
why you have, I mean, it's kind of funny that a bigger event, the Pan Am Championship, is actually the test event for your national event, which, you know,
right.
on paper is actually a step below. I'm not sure. I still don't know that's how people treat it, just because, you know,
Pan
Am is still new and still that prestige yeah. still hasn't. I think even in Europe, I think it's the same, even though it's higher up on the UCI scale. I think that if you asked a lot of these racers, would you rather be Belgian champion or European champion? I'm guessing Belgium will win. That's just
I think you're right. I think after Worlds, that's the next most
yeah.
difficult title, next most difficult jersey to get, in
yeah.
my opinion.
Although so. Tone looked pretty sweet in that European Championship jersey.
That's true.
It's a nice
that's
looking
true.
Jersey.
The European jersey does bring you a lot of attention for
yep.
sure. You know,
yep.
I definitely think that helped him gain a lot of attention. So.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So I think you are absolutely right. And just even the preliminary sort of conversations I've had with the organizers for Louisville, definitely changing the format. You know, the biggest thing that we saw last year, and you know, Scott and Dave Toll will tell you, they were basically at the finish line announcing to a stand of trees. You know.
They could see about what, 80 yards maybe of the course,
yeah,
maybe
yeah
50
they basically
yards.
Could see their race knowledge began when when riders sort of peaked on to the finishing stretch. Scott got really good. He was doing this move where he was sort of had like his right hand was on the support of the stage, and then he was like hanging his whole body off there, and he could sort of like just get this glimpse through the trees of where they would turn before, you know, heading up to the flyover. So that is professional race announcer commitment, where he was, you know, yes, putting his life absolutely at risk to make sure he could get that little glimpse of them going around that corner. Yeah, farther up the course. But yeah, so that's all going to move. There's this great administrative building that old architecture building that was in right at the top of the hill of sort of the main section of the course. And I think that my understanding could be completely wrong. We'll see how it all pans out. But that the start finish line is going to move on the other side of that. There's a little paved area.
Oh, okay.
Really just make everything much more compact around that bowl area. That was that's a great course. There's so many great course features just stuffed into this little area. You make that your
right that really didn't get used.
Yeah. So you had the big descent. And then those steps and just climbs and just really, really neat features down from the pit that you could set up a course, you know, extend that back a little bit down to where the parking lot is, and you can be sitting up on that hill and I think really see 90% of the course that way.
Yeah. So. And speaking of parking.
Yeah.
This is another thing that they have to solve, right? Because we cannot have... You cannot have racers in a parking lot at the zoo being yelled at by zoo employees.
Yeah.
That just ain't going to fly.
And it's like, it's one thing when it was, you know, C2 race and Pan Ams. That brings a different crowd, a smaller crowd than nationals.
Right.
You know. So you, it's going to be tough to tell people you can't set up a tent. You got to do this. Got to, you know. So we're gonna. I think it'll all get worked out, but it kind of smells a little bit like Asheville did in the early days.
Yeah, yeah. You mean with as far as
the parking and all,
because everyone was panicking for that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think here's the thing. Here's what's so frustrating is the parking there is actually really good if you could use it the way you need to use it.
Right.
It would be great. But if they're going to throw all these restrictions on you and then yell at you if you don't, you know, because you need to, you know, it's raining.
Well, and I wonder, too, if, especially if these course changes happen the way we think they might, that overflow parking lot may actually become more appealing.
Yes, because the more of the course will be over there. So
yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
So I think that's what's so frustrating is it could be great. That being said, I don't want to totally rip on them because they did some amazing stuff. The pit at Louisville at that new place was amazing.
Yeah.
The hydrants that they brought in for water supply for the power washers, which was needed, was awesome. I mean, they were the equivalent of Eva Bandman, you know, as far as the volume of water that they could get to the pit if they needed it. And that was incredibly impressive. So
do you think, however, do they need a little reconfiguration? Because it looked like they, not to the same extent, but that they created a little bit of a King's artificial mud bog.
That did happen for sure. Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, who knows if it's muddy anyways, it won't matter, but yeah, I think that could definitely potentially happen. You know, you get people, it's that problem, you know, you get a little bit of dirt on your bike, so you go wash it. Well, that creates more mud, so more people have to wash.
Yeah,
and next thing you know, you got and it's basically just with the flow. I don't know how they're going to change that with where they put in those hydrants. They put those in just for the race, so maybe it's possible to move them to someplace else where it's not gonna. I think if they could somehow put them at the other end of the pit, they'd already be in the lower spot, and the water would just kind of move out towards the road rather than onto the course. So we'll see. we'll see. Yeah. Either way, it's going to be exciting, right?
It did make for a nice little bit of torture for racers. just right. So what we're talking about basically is one of the, I believe it, pit two, the throughway in front of pit two basically just became a mud bog because it was near those power washers, and that followed this killer climb. So right. Once that mud started to form, you just had this 1-2 punch of having right. to, you know, especially in the elite race where they were attacking up this climb, which was, you know, this was where power started having those heart issues just from that
right.
that
right.
section. And then you turn the corner and then you were right into another, you know, heavy mud section that you had to pedal through. It sort of it made a difficult course even harder for that little section.
Yeah, here, but before you do this really hard climb, let's add 10 pounds of mud to your bike.
Yeah.
I think I'm very curious about Louisville this year. I think it's a big I am still a big fan of Eva Bannman. I like that venue.
Yeah.
So this is always an interesting thing to me, is what are they going to do at this new park thing? So, and I'm hoping someday we'll be back
I do too. And just because we have such amazing memories from that park and worlds and that old
time. Right. And I think it's very user friendly for everyone. So I'm hoping after this we'll get back there. So,
yeah.
And that's the season, Bill.
That's the season. In a nutshell. We did it.
And then we got Worlds. Which is where? Say it.
Now I forgot. How do you say it? It starts with a B.
It's like bonsai.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I forget how to pronounce it, too. So, yeah.
Awesome. All right. Should we end it there?
Are we going to end there?
I don't know.
Let's end it.
I think it's good. We did 90 minutes.
90 minutes.
That's a good
Holy
thing.
Cow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, Scott, thanks for being that go-to. It worked out.
Yeah, you know, I didn't have anything to do today, just hanging out. So, you know. But check us out at Bike Shop CX on Wide Angle Podium. Go listen. You'll like
where
it.
Where else can people get a hold of you, Scott Diefenbach?
On Instagram, I am at BikeShopCX and at CyclocrossNet. And if you want to send any tech questions into our show, BikeShopShow@gmail.com.
Awesome. And you can find me at CX Airs on Twitter and on Instagram. Been having fun with the mountain bike clips from last year. Been calling it my cutting room floor series and just taking little snippets of cool shots from a little like 5-10 second video shots from the season last year and throwing them up there, and those seem to have been going over well. So go check out Instagram at CX Airs. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can do that by emailing feedback@cxairs.com. And if you're on YouTube, it's youtube.com/cxairs. All right. I think we
cool.
did it. See y'all.
Nice.
Go get some life insurance. HealthIQ.com/CX Airs. And become a member of the Wide Angle Podium at WideAnglePodium.com. Bye.
Do all that.